Hi, this is Yvette Francino, site editor for Search Software Quality, here with author, speaker, and consultant Randy Rice. Randy is a Search Software Quality contributor and will be presenting at Star East with a full-day tutorial on April 26th and a concurrent session on April 28th. Welcome, Randy.
Hi, Yvette. Good to be here.
So your tutorial is Becoming an Influential Test Team Leader. And I wanted to ask you some questions about that and then follow with some questions about your concurrent session that you'll be hosting on the 28th about the elusive tester-developer ratio. But let's start with the test team leader topic. What are some of the top traits of an influential test team leader?
Well, I think, you know, really when you boil it all down, you know, leadership at its essence is influence. You know, you're trying to influence people to go in a common direction and do the kind of things that are going to add value to the organization. So the influential test team leader is one who is a very good communicator, but even more so than communicating, they're able to connect not only with their team, but with their management, with the other people in the organization. And so they're constantly out there making that value message. And in the tutorial, basically, we kind of take this journey. It's a great interactive day. And when I first started doing this tutorial about 4 or 5 years ago at the STAR conferences, I thought it would be a one-time deal. In fact, I was filling in for someone. And it keeps getting enough high marks that they just keep on asking me to do it. And I think one of the reasons is the interactivity. We go through some exercises and things where people get to actually take the role of a leader. They get to do teamwork kind of things together. And then we get to explore and ask questions of each other and you know, deal with some of the issues that are causing, you know, typically some of the problems in test team leadership. But the big influencer here, or of the entire session, is how to be an influencer. You know, how do you actually get your point across so that the organization starts doing things that are good for software development, good for testing, good for the company.
So if somebody has great leadership skills and is an influencer and has a good understanding of software concepts, do they need to, do you feel it's important that they actually have experience with hands-on testing or experience with the technology that's being used for the application under test?
You know, that's a really good question, and I've been a part of some really great debates around that very question. And where I fall on that is I believe that the test team leader needs to know enough about the thing that they're leading, in this case testing and quality assurance, that they don't have to be mentored by someone on the team. When you go in pretty much cold, like unfortunately a lot of test leaders do get pressed into that position. I know that actually happened to me. I was named a test team leader because I had written a test plan one time. And I come out of the world of development. And so I really have a strong sympathy there for people in that situation. But at the same time, you go into that role with a lot less credibility than had you walked into that role with, let's say, 10 years of experience in software testing. That's obviously the best scenario. Otherwise, once again, you have to be mentored by other people. You're on the learning curve, and sometimes people on your team are ahead of you in the learning curve, and you know they're looking at your decisions and wondering why you know you're doing certain things, and the rookie team leader is going to make some mistakes, okay? And so this kind of is one of the realities, but you can really minimize those mistakes by having some experience going in. And so, you know, in the tutorial, I used to do a tutorial where we talked as much about testing as we did leadership. But in this one, I just make a point that, you know, that's part of the leader skill kit. They need to have the testing skills, at least to some degree, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Do you think that the skills needed for an effective leader will be different if they're in an agile environment versus a traditional environment?
They shift a little bit, yeah. You know, I've been in some organizations as a consultant where the decision was made to go toward the agile approach. And, you know, it works really well when people can get along and they can work as teams and collaborate. But you get into these organizations that have walls built up over time, and the predominant skill set typically is how do we work around the other teams, you know. And so in the case of the agile approach, I think that the test team leader has to have a real keen eye towards collaboration. They have to have an eye toward a test efficiency, doing things faster. You know, they kind of have to get out of that mindset of doing a 4 or 6 week test, you know, every time they do a test. In this case, it's more like a 2 or 4 hour test. So, you know, they have to embrace some things probably they haven't embraced in the past. And it takes a little practice for that.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about your other session, the elusive tester-developer ratio.
Mm-hmm.
In that one, the description of that says that you've done recent research on the tester-developer ratio. Can you tell us about that research?
Sure. First of all, this whole thing started with me back around the year 2000 or so. I was getting a lot of questions back then around what should be the appropriate, quote-unquote, tester-developer ratio. So I did some initial research back then, and, you know, I found that the ratios varied widely. And so it's been a while since I'd actually did any research on it. So about mid last year, I started surveying people again in organizations and getting as much data as I could. And to this point, I've got about 50 organizations represented in my research, and I'll probably pick up another 20 even next week before I do my talk. But the thing that I continue to see is that just about any ratio will work, okay? and that's the surprising thing to people. And what kind of validates that is when I put this whole distribution out, and of course we have some people at a 1-to-1 developer to tester ratio, and I have some people as high as like 100-to-1. But if I put those out and evenly distribute it, and I kind of divide it, you know, at the mode and look who's below the midpoint and above the midpoint, in this research, the thing that I did that was a little bit different was I asked them about the quality of their testing. So, you know, it's one thing to know what the ratio is, but it's another thing to know, well, how's it working for you? And the really surprising thing to me was that the average response, we quantified that. I had them rated on a scale of like 1 to 6. And I pick 1 to 6 so people can't just give me a midpoint number there. But the numbers on average between the low ratios and the high ratios were pretty much the same. And, you know, it makes sense when you start thinking what's behind that, because some of the people at the higher ratios, like 10-to-1, 10 developers to one tester, they've had to learn how to make do with less. And they've gotten good at tooling. They've gotten good at techniques. If they don't get good, then they typically don't survive. So to me, it kind of validates something that I see just going into organizations. And so my main thesis here is that the ratio is telling, but it really shouldn't be a driver, in my opinion, to how you staff a test team. You know, and especially when you look at some other companies' ratio on how to staff a test team. So, you know, I can tell you that the average is 1-to-3. That's what I found. But at the same time, I ask people, well, you know, maybe you don't want to be average. So, you know, that's kind of the point that I make in the session.
So would people hearing this podcast or this research, managers that are looking to staff, might they then say, well, if the quality, you learn ways to be more efficient if your staffing is such that you have fewer testers to developers, then might they go ahead and just go ahead with as many minimal resources as they can from a perspective of hiring? And would you worry then that might impact their quality?
Sure. Actually, I always worry what management will do with metrics. Okay. I mean, it's a scary, scary thing. So you do have to be careful with the message. You know, and like I say, it's a good telling metric. It tells me when I go into a company and I do see a 10-to-1 developer to tester ratio that we need to look at that, because just at the surface, I would say that's pretty thin, just from my experience. But if I start looking at it and I realize that they're doing great testing, then I'm going to say, well, they're probably about at their right ratio. So you really have to look at more than just the number. You know, they may be making great use of tools, for example. So it'd be a big mistake just to look at the ratio and say, oh, well, you know, I've heard this Rice guy say that, you know, you can get by with 10-to-1. No, that's really not what I'm saying. That would be a mistake, I believe, to try to go down that road, because until you have evidence to show the quality of your testing, you know, things like one of the great metrics is defect detection percentage that Doc Graham talks about quite a bit. You know, to measure the number of defects you find in your testing by divided by the number of defects everyone finds for the life of the product, whatever that is deemed to be. You know, it's measured as a percentage, like 80%, 90%, whatever. That's a great little indicator as well. So if you're at a 10-to-1 ratio with a 95% defect detection percentage there, then you're doing pretty well.
Okay, and I'll ask the same question that I asked about leadership, but I'll ask it in terms of the differences between Agile and traditional. Did you find that the ratios were different if you were in an Agile environment versus a traditional environment?
You know, that's a wonderful question. I wish I had gotten a little bit more granular on my research. I didn't really ask people to distinguish between their development approaches on that. I did ask them for some anecdotal kind of evidence, and the thing that kind of blurs the lines a little bit here, you know, is in the Agile approaches, you may have a lot of people pressed into the testing role where they, you know, you may not even know where they're at. You know, it may be a tester sitting next to a developer or whatever. In the more traditional roles, you have these typically well-formed teams that are out there, fairly easy to count. So I can't really answer that. My gut feeling is, from what I've seen in working in Agile organizations, is that the ratio would probably be probably on the lower side, you know, more testers to developers. But on the same token, I can give you plenty of anecdotal evidence from larger software companies that are at that 10-to-1 ratio, and they do work in Agile ways too. So I can't really back up anything there with hard research right now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Randy, for your time today. Anything
well, you're
else
welcome.
Would you like to leave our listeners with any parting thoughts?
No. I say no and then give you some one. I just say, you know, the STAR conferences are really great venues for anyone involved in software testing and quality, and I highly recommend them. That's why you know, I spend my time being a part down there. We have a good time. You know, the tutorials are good, the track sessions and keynoters are good. So I know it's just been one of those things. This will be my 21st year speaking at conferences, and so every year since I've been in QA and testing as a consultant, I've done a conference of usually 3 or 4 a year, and that's how I keep my skills sharp, you know. So if you want to keep your skills sharp in testing, you know, and if you can make it down to Orlando, I'd love to meet you.
Okay, great. Well, we'll be there, so look forward to meeting you.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.